Well, Dr. Morris, Dr. Pearson, thank you so much for those very kind words. Thank you for this distinct honor. As Mark Twain once said, when he was introduced with a lot of effusive praise, he said, "Sir, you'll go to heaven for your generosity." So to you and to Jeffrey Abramson, our chair of the Board of Trustees, Mary Ed Malloy, and I also want to recognize Alexandra Pomeroy, the new president of the Global Student Council, who led us up here. Where is she? Did she disappear? Oh, there she is, right there. Well, what is it, the Senate next? I don't know. Professors and administrators, graduates, parents, family members, I want you to know I deeply appreciate the invitation to address you on this commencement day and to receive this very distinguished award. I come before you with a measure of humility. I realize that I was probably selected to be your speaker today because Oprah wasn't available. But I do want you to know of my highest respect and admiration that I have for this university, for what you have done, what you've become here in Iowa, the nation and the world, and especially for what I consider to be the best holistic approach to education and wellness and life at any university anywhere on the globe. So first and foremost, congratulations to our graduates. It's been said that graduation is one of the five great milestones in life. The others being, of course, birth, marriage, death, and the day you finally pay off your student loans. So it's a great honor for me to share this milestone with you. So, graduates, on this momentous occasion, one of the most important days of your life, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. You're wondering, how long is that guy going to talk? The answer is not long. I'm reminded of what an Irish priest once told me that puts my role today in proper perspective. Father John Ryan was the pastor at St. John's Church in my hometown of Cumming. Like most Irishmen, he was wise in the ways of the world. The first time I was ever asked to speak at a graduation, I asked Father Ryan how I should approach it. "Commencement speakers," said Father Ryan, "should think of themselves like the body at an old-fashioned Irish wake." They need you in order to have the party, but they don't expect you to say very much. So be at ease. I know my part is small. We're here to celebrate your accomplishments, not my profound insights. Besides any counsel I can give you pales in comparison to the advice and the love and the encouragement of your parents, your grandparents, teachers, and friends here to celebrate with you today. So I thought long and hard about the best way to get my message across today, and I've chosen a method that has stood the test of time, something that has imparted wisdom to millions of people throughout the years. I speak, of course, not of the Ten Commandments, but of David Letterman's top 10 list. Now, I don't claim that my own top 10 list is perfect wisdom. As I said, it's not the commandments. I think of them as 10 suggestions. 10 hearken suggestions on life. So you can pick and choose the ones you like. So here goes. Number 10, don't panic. You will find a job. I know that many of you are headed on beyond, some of you to grad school and beyond. Some of you already probably have job offers. Others are looking. But whether you have a job right now or not, don't worry. My confidence is based on one thing, because you came to the right school. I have nothing, as I said, but admiration for what this university has accomplished in such a short period of time. In a unique way, you have put the higher in higher education. You folks would agree with William Butler Yeats, who said that education is not about filling up a bucket, it's about lighting a fire. And you carry that one step further. At this university, education is also about training, focusing, freeing the mind. It's about raising consciousness. Here you have been beautifully prepared, intellectually and spiritually, for all the challenges you will face in the world out there. So you should go forth with confidence. And as you look for a place to settle, I hope you'll look beyond the big cities. Many small towns and small communities here in Iowa and across the Midwest are looking for bright young people like you to help them build for the future. You can really make a difference in a small community. It's a great place to start and raise children. Small towns like Fairfield have solid values, a strong sense of community, friendly people. And think about this. If you live in a small community, you'll save money because you won't have to buy a GPS to find your way around. But to get there, you've got to follow rule number 9. Rule number 9. Believe in yourself. You have to believe there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you cannot accomplish through hard work and determination, plus the courage to step outside of your comfort zone. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi put it somewhat differently. He said, the important thing is this, to be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become. Stepping out of your comfort zone. Well, growing up in Cumming, population 150, I wondered if I'd ever go to college. My parents brought up 6 kids in a 2-bedroom home in which I still live. My dad was a coal miner with a 6th-grade education. Actually, many times I had to go back. I looked at the census of 1940. I found out he had a 6th-grade education. He always said he had an 8th-grade education. But he was Irish. He liked to brag a lot. My mother was an immigrant. Came here in steerage. Had very little schooling. We didn't have any money. But my mother and father believed in me just as your parents believe in you. And they taught me that if you work hard and study and are responsible, you can accomplish anything in life. My parents were right. So are yours. You can accomplish anything. And today you've got the robes and the funny hats to prove it. Rule number 8. Don't let the virtual world take the place of the real one. The internet's a wonderful thing, except when you're getting spammed by advertisements for Botox or Viagra or emails from some Nigerian prince who promises to make you fabulously rich if you just send him $10,000 right now. Don't let Facebook be a substitute for the real faces of your family and your friends. Don't mistake virtual avatars for the real thing. What matters are the flesh and blood people in your life. Real success is about the love you give and receive. It's about the people you touch, the lives you change. Well, you can call me old-fashioned, but I think it boils down to the basics. The values and faith that our parents and grandparents instilled in us, and the wonderful discipline of the mind that you have learned and deepened at this university. Rule number 7, don't go to New Hampshire. I'm sorry, that was my mistake. That belongs in my top 10 pieces of advice if you ever run for president. Some of these people know what I'm talking about. I'll get to that in a minute. Which leads to the real number 7. Don't let a few stumbles stop you dead in your tracks. Now I speak from experience. In 1962, I worked for a Senate campaign, and we lost. In 1963, as was mentioned, I entered the Navy, became a jet pilot. I actually tested to be an astronaut, but I never made it into outer space. Well, unless you include being in Congress, of course. In 1968, I managed a campaign for governor, and we lost. In 1970, I worked on a campaign for Congress. We lost. In 1970, it was mentioned I was involved as a staff member in the House in uncovering these tiger cages in Vietnam. It went against the House. It went against powerful people. I published my findings, and one of the leaders of the United States House of Representatives said, and I got fired from my job. He said, Harkin will never again work in the U.S. Congress. So in 1972, I ran for Congress. I lost again. And in 1992, as I mentioned, I ran for president. Obviously, I didn't make that. So I say, first of all, to all the parents and professors here, when I say I ran for president, if you missed it, don't worry. A lot of people seem to miss that one. Someone once said that Harkin wanted to run for president in the worst way, and he did. So, what's all this mean? I've had my stumbles. But the real failure would have been if I'd given up. So be prepared. You're going to suffer setbacks. You can't let that deter you. The person who never makes mistakes is the person who does nothing. So do something. Aim high. Take risks and stick your neck out. Rule number 6. Rule number 6. 2 words. Have fun. Real life is weirder than anything you've ever read about in class. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction. So enjoy it. W.C. Fields, I read about him in your history. He used to say, start every day with a smile and get it over with. But he was a grouch. I say savor life. Savor every day, no matter how tough, no matter how depressed or discouraged you may get. Find something to laugh about. You remember the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Have you ever seen the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off? You've seen that movie, right? One of my favorite movies. And I remind you of the immortal words of my favorite philosopher, Ferris Bueller. He said, life goes by pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Don't miss it. Have fun. Live, love, and laugh every day. Rule number 5. Rule number 5, never go to a doctor whose office plants have died. That's just my cute way of saying don't blindly follow someone else's advice. Be a healthy skeptic, not a cynic. But don't look for all the answers in a book. Use your head. See beyond the appearances, like in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy looks behind the curtain. And don't sweat the small stuff. Don't spend a lot of your time wondering why so many Iowa towns are named after water towers. You've got better things to do with your time. And another thing, don't automatically believe everything you read. In fact, I'll go even further. Don't believe everything you think you know. As Will Rogers once said, it isn't what we don't know that gives us trouble. It's what we know that ain't so. That leads me to rule number 4. Express appreciation and don't hold back. If you have a professor who has been an especially great teacher or mentor here at this university, don't you dare leave today without tracking that person down and saying thank you. And say a very special thank you to your parents also. And let me say this to the parents who are here. I know how incredibly proud and happy you are today for your son or daughter. This is a commencement, a going forth. But for you, it's a culmination of many years of sacrifice and selfless love. So graduates, forgive your mom or your dad or your grandparents, close friends, if you see them tearing up a little bit today. In fact, it's time to put rule number 4. Express appreciation into practice. So here's the audience participation part of my speech. I invite each of our graduates right now to turn in your seat, find your parents, and give them a big round of applause. Okay, rule number 3. We're getting close. Rule number 3, keep your priorities straight. I'd say that I've had about the toughest job around, but I'm not complaining. I love every minute of it. It's demanding. It's full-time. It requires discipline and skill, honesty and commitment. The job I'm talking about is not that of a senator. I'm talking about being a parent and a grandparent. Ruth and I have 2 daughters, Amy and Jenny. We have 2 grandsons, a granddaughter now. Nothing is more important than our family. And since the day our daughters were born, we've done our darndest never to miss a birthday or an anniversary. Our family vacations are sacred times. And let me tell you, sometimes it drives my staff nuts. A minister who had been present at many a deathbed said, "Not once did a dying person ever say to me, 'Gee, I wish I'd spent more time at the office.'" When all is said and done, the people in your life, your family, your faith, the friendships you form are what give shape and substance to your life. Never, ever sacrifice that. Rule number 2. If you want your dreams to come true, don't sleep till noon. Parents always get that one. Keep challenging yourself. Think about your time here at this university. I bet you did things you never thought you could do. This school has always been a place for seekers and achievers, not whiners and wimps. Those folks dropped out after the first semester in the middle of winter. So keep pioneering. Get up and get out early. I know each of you have had a different experience here. Now each of you will have a different destination. But you're all leaving from the same place. As you load up the car and drive out of Fairfield, I just say this. Don't take the easy road. In today's world, it's far too easy to be cynical. It's easy to be disengaged. It's easy to withdraw within ourselves. It's easy not to care. But I say to you, that easy road is a dead end. The real value of life and work isn't measured in dollars or the wealth you accumulate. It's measured in the lives you change, the people you help, the work you do to make this world a better place for all. As has often been said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And that brings me at long last to rule number one. Be a part of something larger than yourself. A big part of your experience here has been a journey inward, mastering your own mind. That journey will continue. But I also encourage you to be ambitious in your journey outward. Get involved in your community. The solutions to many of the problems in our lives are in our own communities and in our own hands. Don't wait for them somewhere else to solve them for you. Start with yourself. But it takes a spark plug. Think of the amazing impact that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi has had on the world. One person with a vision, the energy, and leadership can inspire and move millions of people and change the world. Each of you can be that kind of a spark plug. Most of the people that I have known who have been both successful and happy are those who know themselves, who they are. This university has taught you to have the mental strength to transcend the vicissitudes of life, to know yourself. They have prepared you well for that outward journey. And you've all proven that you have the talent and the energy to accomplish big things. Don't forget, most people in America and many of the countries that were mentioned here today, most people don't go to college. So you've already accomplished something very important. All of you have had opportunities that most people in the world can only dream about. Now it's time to give something back. So volunteer in a school, a senior citizen center, help clean up a neighborhood, teach someone to read or to speak a language fluently. Make a difference. And I would say this, please get involved in our government. We live in a democracy, and it's not a spectator sport. Our great democracy has to be renewed. Our great democracy has to be renewed and replenished with each generation. If you want to have a direct, tangible impact on the future, I've often said the most important elective office in America is not president or senator or governor. You know what I consider to be the most important elective office in America? Membership on a school board. Think about that. Think about what you can do to shape and form lives for the future by being a member of a school board. I can tell you there's a hunger in this country for clean, decent, honest, new political leadership at every level of government. I'm telling you, as you probably know, I'm retiring after this term in the Senate. And some people ask if I'm regretting moving on and things. I say, well, you know, every time I see young people like you here and I see what you've accomplished, I don't have any fear for the future. I believe our future is in great hands. But I want you to get involved, make a difference, make change happen, be that spark plug. But always remember my rule number 6, have fun doing it. Well, so there they are, Parkin's top 10 rules to live by. If nothing else, I think it clearly shows that Letterman has nothing to fear. But as you go out into the world, remember, neither do you. Once again, my congratulations. And let me end by where I began, by quoting the great Mark Twain. Let us endeavor so to live that when it comes time to die, even the undertaker will be sorry. Good luck, best wishes, and enjoy your journey.